I'm so glad you're all here today with us. And if you have your Bibles, yes, please turn over to Joshua chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the first 17 verses of Joshua 3 or the whole chapter, whichever comes first. So that's where we're going to be today, Joshua chapter 3. You know, as you guys are getting there, I'm reminded, you know, kind of a story today, and it has to do with my boys, you know, and when Jacob was about, I think he was 6, and Joey was about 4, they were sitting together. Now, in our old church in Howell, there, it was kind of in the round, but in the back, there was this big set of double doors back there, and well, because they were little, you know, we used to kind of sit towards the back, hoping that, you know, that we wouldn't disturb people too much. And at this time, when they were like 6 and 4, they were sitting, you know, together there in the back of the church. Joey was, you know, usually quiet, but this day he was a little mischievous, you know, and he giggled and he talked out loud and he was singing the wrong songs and just kind of really messing things up a little bit. And finally, Jacob, you know, he just had enough with it, and he said, "Joey, stop. You're not supposed to make noise and talk out loud in church." Joey, being a little defiant, said, "Why? Who's going to stop me?" And Jacob turned around and he pointed at the two guys by the door. "You see them guys? They're hushers." And it worked. But the thought occurred to me, you know, we all need a little bit of direction, right, from time to time. We all need to have a little bit of a compass or a little bit of direction. And I suppose that most of you here today could tell a story about getting lost or about trying to find a place where you've never, you know, been before. And you've had to go do that without having adequate directions. I know, you know, it. And that same thing just happened to me just a short while ago. I think it was the last time we went back to Michigan. Cindy and I, we got off the road somewhere, and we had to find, I'm trying to think of the location, but, you know, I just didn't quite know where to go, you know. Now, one of the things that I think Cindy will agree with me about is that that I've never really considered inadequate directions or even a lack of directions altogether to be a particular problem to me, you know. I just never really bothered me. I mean, if I have an address or if I have a basic location of something, man, I always figure that eventually, as long as I got gas in the car, I'll find it. I don't know, maybe it's just something about the challenge of it that I kind of like. You know, the pioneer spirit. I don't really know. But my idea of adequate directions is kind of like this. Well, if I know where I'm going, you know, say I want to go to the Grand Canyon, and I want to get there. I know it's in Arizona, right? I know it's, and that's really all I need to know. I mean, like in my mind, I say this, hey, I'm just going to go to Williams, Arizona, and the Grand Canyon's got to be around there somewhere, right? I mean, it's a big crack in the ground. I ought to be able to find it. And, you know, and again, maybe it's just the adventure in me that has me, you know, kind of looking at things that way. I guess I enjoy the challenge, right, of trying to find my way through, well, the urban jungle or even the desert barrenness. Now, I know you guys are going to think that this is amazing. I just know you are, but Cindy doesn't really look at things that way. She differs in me with that. You know, like I remember the last time she would say, "Why don't you just stop and get directions?" And I got to say, no, I'm going to, at least I'll ask Siri. And then Cindy will say, "Well, Siri doesn't know anything anyway, right?" Absolutely. But eventually, one way or another, we find ourselves to the place. And isn't it amazing how often that we really try to find our way on our own? And I'm really, really not talking about, you know, trying to find a Grand Canyon or trying to find Potsdam Laundry. That's really not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about life. How we live our life. You know, as I look out here today, we've got a nice crowd here today. But as I look out there, I think each of us who are gathered in this place today are probably guilty in one way or another of trying to make it through life on our own when we really do need help. It's an awful tough thing, isn't it? To know we need help. But to acknowledge that and to ask for help. It's a tough thing for us. You know, as we've been reading through the book of Joshua, as we've been preaching through the book of Joshua and the story of the nation of Israel, you know, how they're trying to finally cross over into something that was promised to them years and years before, we've discovered, or at least I hope that we've discovered, some truths that apply to our own lives. You know, because if we don't figure out a way to what the Bible's telling us to the people who lived in those days, how are we going to actually, if we don't apply it to our lives and trying to figure that out, we're still going to be trying to do things in our own way. So we're taking, my hope is, my prayer is that we're taking the story of the book of Joshua, and we're using it as kind of a metaphor for our very own spiritual journey. And we got to start really right here, that we got to realize that God has called every one of us into a new land. And I mean that spiritually. If you haven't stopped and thought about it, God today, right now today, is calling you into a new land. Spiritually. Calling you out of what was, what has been, and into something new. And I'm just going to guarantee you today that he has something better for you today. If we can just cross over. What is God asking of you today? See, I believe this, that God is asking each one of us to leave the desert that we have made and cross over into the life and into the freedom and into the joy and into the peace that he has already provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's already there. But even though the promise that he has for us is so great, and as we look out across the desert, we understand that the new land that he has for us is wonderful. And many of us, Christians, still find ourselves wandering around in the desert. Still find ourselves camped out on the wrong side of the river, unable today to cross over. Why is that? Maybe it's something from the past and something that we feel that we've done and feel guilty over that keeps us from, you know, putting our foot in the river. And sometimes it's simply just fear that keeps us from crossing over. But here's the thing. We have heard the word of the Lord say to the Israelites and say to us, it's time to get up. It's time to dust yourself off. And it's time to get moving. We've heard God say through his word, you know, stop allowing your future to be defined by the past and just move on from there. Man, we heard God say this, don't be afraid. Now listen to this, because I've already gone before you. I've gone before you to prepare the way for you and to remove the barriers in front of you. And now we come to Chapter 3, and the people of Israel were finally ready to cross over. It was finally time for them to go, but there's still a problem in their midst. You see, Joshua and his officials define the problem really clearly, and they do it concisely. In verse 4, it says, here's the problem that confronts them, that you know what? You have never been this way before. Kind of scary to them. Because here's what they're saying. He's saying that you don't have the adequate directions. Here's what they're saying. And it's not good enough to think that somehow you can just figure out this place where to go on your own. You can't make it on your own. What Joshua and the leaders are telling them is that you need help. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I think that's a mirror into our very own spiritual lives today. You know, perhaps one of the reasons that we've never really crossed over and into God's new land of promise is that we've tried it before and we've gotten lost. We think we've been there and we've done that, but man, it didn't really happen. Maybe it's like this. Once we started on the journey, you know, we tried to go our own way and we tried to follow Jesus on our own terms. And in doing it the way we wanted to do it, well, we've gotten lost. See, we hear God's call to go deeper in our spiritual lives, right? And immediately we think, okay, I can do that. I know the way. The problem is that when God calls us to something new, when God calls us to a deeper way of life with Him, we just can't strike out on our own. You know why? Because we don't know the way. We've never been that way, this way before. See? I'll give you an example, if you'd allow me here. It's like this. Sometimes we sense God's inner call to deepen our spiritual disciplines, right? To become closer with Him. But then we think, man, okay, you know, I know we offer four or five different times of prayer at church, you know, and different kinds of discipleship ministries there at church. But, you know, I think I can do this on my own. I don't need to come and pray with Pastor Gary or Gary there on Sunday morning as he leads in prayer because, you know, I can do that on my own. And then we begin to truly resist making ourselves accountable, right, to somebody else. See, nobody knows how I pray at home all the time, but nobody really knows that but you and God, and we're never accountable to anybody else. We resist receiving spiritual direction then. We think we know the way, but the Bible tells us we don't know the way. Pretty soon we begin making compromises in our lives and we begin to take wrong turns. And before you know it, once again, we're wandering around spiritually in the desert, not quite sure where we're at any longer. You see, I'm going to tell you the simple truth today is that when God calls us to a new land, we need help getting there. See, when God calls us to a new place, we need a navigator, whether we want to admit it or not. I want you to tell you something today. I want you to understand something today, that Joshua 3 is a simple but powerful story about how God showed these people a way into the new land. And there were three actions to which these people were called. Now, didn't you say, you hear what I said? That there were three things that these people were called. We're called, right, to do. And I believe they could be very, very instructive for us today. And here's the first one. They had to follow Yahweh. And you might say, duh, right? But I don't mean to step on any toes today, but, you know, I know so many people who say duh to that and refuse to follow the God of the universe. I'm sorry, but it's true. The way they were told to follow Yahweh was to follow the Ark of the Covenant. See, the Ark of the Covenant was the symbol and the center of God's presence with His people at that time. It was the symbol and the reality of God's presence in their lives. And here's the thing, is I think this is really interesting that in two short chapters of Joshua, chapter 3 and chapter 4, the ark, the symbol, and the reality of God's presence is mentioned no less than 17 times. And I think that's important there. Because it's as if the writer of Hebrews wants to make sure that we don't, or Joshua wants to make sure that the Hebrews don't lose sight of it. See, I think he got that lesson. And the lesson is that if you lose sight of God, then, well, you know what? You are sunk. If you lose sight of the goal that God's laid out before you, then all of your religious activity that you're engaged in leads to nothing. See, the writer of Joshua said, if you lose sight of the Father, then you begin to wander in the desert, no matter what you call that desert. Now, following God in this journey to the new land sounds very reasonable to us today, doesn't it? I mean, it's obviously, right, the right thing to do. But here's where it gets tough. I think it's crazy. I'm going to call it the crazy thing. The crazy thing is that so often God leads us in a direction that would be absolutely opposite of the direction that either we think he should be taking us or the direction that we want to be taken in, right? He was going to lead these people. Think about this now. He was going to lead these people to cross the Jordan River. But the thing about all this is that it's the time where the river was at flood stage, right? Now, you know, the Jordan River really isn't that big a river, but at flood time, it's a pretty darn big river, and it flows pretty fast. And so to me and to us, that sounds pretty crazy, a crazy thing to do, because, man, these people have been wandering in the desert waiting to cross that river for 40 years. And now God says, get ready to cross over, and he's saying it at flood state. Well, we've been here 40 years. Can't we just wait a few more months until the river dies down, right? That's kind of what I'm thinking to myself today. Doesn't it make a lot of sense to just wait a few more months according to our way of doing things? But here's the deal. Have you ever really noticed that God often seems to work, you know, like that? You know, do it when we least expect it type of thing. And when it's time to cross over, you know, when that time comes, it could be that God will ask something of us that seems crazy on the surface, at least to our way of thinking. But there's an underlying issue there. For you, Christian, and for me, Christian, and for those Israelites a long time ago, and it is simply an issue of four words. Will you follow me? Even when it looks like it's against all common sense, God says, will you follow me? Will you follow me instead of trying to find your own way across? There's a second action that these guys had to do, that they were called to do. Joshua went through the camp and he told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things for you. Consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Open yourself. Set, you know, open, give yourself to God so he can sanctify you and he can set you apart for his good service. So there's a couple of things. Consecrate yourself means, you know, to make yourself ready, to give yourself over. So you give yourself over so God can sanctify you, commission it, purify it, refine it, and then be set apart and follow the new path. Because remember what he told Father Abraham, if you do those things, then you will be a blessing. Set yourself apart to be a blessing to the world around you. So, without a doubt, there was a special preparation called for on part of the people, right? It was a relationship type thing, right? God will do if we will do. It's a relationship type thing, right? The people had to be ready for when God revealed himself to them in a special way. And as I look back on it, I mean, obviously, as we read the story and we see what happened, is that somehow this preparation was critical to the people of Israel's understanding in a very clear manner that what God was about to do was from God. Could it be that, and this is a question for us today, could it be that we don't see mighty acts of God more often because we don't prepare for them? We don't get ready for them. See, here's what we tend to say. We tend to say, God, you do something great and then we'll respond. You see, we tend to say, God, you do this thing in our lives and then we'll prepare, we'll pray for you to continue your good work. God, we say, you move powerfully in my life and then I'll really get serious about following you. But God says, how about this? You get serious and you follow me and then I'll do something really great in your life. Man, we've seen, I want you to think about it, just in your mind, recall, because I know even in just the short time that I've been with you guys, we've seen mighty acts of God's power right here in this congregation. He's been gracious to us, and he's shown himself to us. But I still can't help but wonder this is, would we see even more of his mighty acts if we were very intentional about consecrating ourselves? Preparing ourselves in expectation, in wondrous expectation of seeing him move among us. What might that mean, loved ones? You see, I believe God calls us to different things in different times in terms of preparation. And I also believe it always includes some pretty basic things really today. For example, I believe that in preparation that God is, there's not a person here that God's not calling to simplify their life. I know he is calling me and Cindy that way. And I believe he is to simplify our lives. I'm just convinced that all of us are just too busy and we have so many activities crammed into our lives that we never really get to hear when God speaks to us. And man, he's knocking and he's saying, hello down there. Well, wait a minute, God, just a second. My Facebook page is exploding right now. You see, we need to eliminate from our lives that which is superficial. And we need to quiet ourselves long enough so that God can direct us and God can then shape us. And a large part of this is prayer, man. I'm just telling you. Are we hungry to see God move in our lives? I mean, are we really hungry to see God move in our lives? Are we thirsty to know him? And are we thirsty to know him in his powerful presence in our lives? I'll just say it one more time. We provide a lot of opportunities for study, discipleship, and prayer. Our prayer ministry is growing. But most of us are still not part of it. But you know what? God is asking us to be accountable. Accountable. Not only to him, but to each other. Lifting each other up in prayer. He's asking us, do you want to see mighty acts? Then why don't you just talk to me about it, and then listen to what I have to say. One more thing that these people were called to do. Besides following God and besides, you know, consecrating themselves, these people were called to follow the leader. They were called to get behind the leader. Very often, the way that God takes us to new places in our spiritual journey is through spiritual leader of those He's placed in our lives. And this was the case primarily with Joshua. God clearly said to Joshua, listen, I'm going to exalt you in the eyes of the people, and I'm going to show myself to them through you. I'm going to direct them through your actions and your mouth. And that's a tall order. So if you're a Christian leader, the way you act and the way you speak is a window into who you are. You got to have control of yourself. They call that self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. But throughout the history of God dealing with His people, that is how God has directed them, through leadership. You see, they were to follow Joshua, and then they were to follow the priests whom God had appointed to lead them across the river. Now, I understand that this is hard for us. I do. See, our culture and our world has taught us to be very independent and in turn to be very individualistic in our faith. You know what? We're not taking orders from anybody. I just don't think that's the way I should do it. But God clearly has designed it so that these people, if they wanted to cross over successfully, they would have to follow the leader. And first of all, that leader is God. But it's also was God's servants. And you know what? It's not any different today. You see, these Israelites, they put these three things into practice, and they watched the Ark of the Covenant go on before them, and they followed their leaders as they took the Ark and they stepped into the swollen waters of the Jordan River, and they watched loved ones in utter amazement as the waters of the Jordan River stopped up and it allowed them to cross over into the Promised Land on dry ground for the second time in 40 years. And they knew that God was with them. And they learned the lesson again. And the lesson is that when God calls you to something new, that when God calls you to something deeper, when He invites you to cross over into the new land, that He'll never call you where He doesn't lead you. He will never ask you to do anything without providing all you need to follow Him faithfully. So I ask you again, what is the new land toward which God is leading you? What are you going to do about that hunger in your heart to know Him more? When are you going to respond to the call of God and to move into that something new that He has in store for you? I'll tell you today, it's time to cross over. So consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Amen.